Hey everyone, Pastor Darren here with Pastor Mike for our Sunday sermon recap. So after 19 months, Book of Luke, Sunday, we've reached the cross.
One week left.
We've finally reached the cross. We've reached the cross. Yep. And the thing is, we didn't look at the brutality of the cross, and it was brutal.
It was.
We didn't look at the wickedness of the cross, and it was wicked.
Yeah.
But what we looked at something... and the way you preached it was just beautiful, was we actually looked at the beauty of the cross, which was the heart of Jesus in the midst of his crucifixion on the cross.
Yeah, because so many times when we cover this passage, it's the passion of the Christ, and it's rightfully so. We want to understand the gravity of what Jesus went through, that the brutality, the suffering, that, you know, he's the suffering servant, you know, that's the imagery painted in the Old Testament. And so we want to understand he was beaten, he was abused, it was brutal, it was, you know, the suffering that he took on for our sake. So those are important things to focus on. But this Sunday, I thought, let's do it a little bit differently, because I didn't want to stand up there and say, you know, there was blood everywhere, you know, although there was, but I wanted us to focus on something that sometimes we miss, or at least I miss, is the heart of Jesus as he goes to the cross, because it's revealed to us. You see his heart displayed in these moments. And yes, we see it because of the brutality, but we also see it in some different ways. And so that's what we want to talk about.
So we picked up in Luke 23, verse 26. So this picks up right after the conviction, his conviction, not days or weeks later. It was immediately after the conviction you mentioned. So Jesus has been beaten so brutally, he can't carry his own cross. So Simon the Cyrenian, is that right?
I have no idea.
Because you said it differently.
I was laughing, yeah. I think I said it differently in both services.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Simon from C.
Yeah, from C-Town.
C-Town is commanded to help Jesus with carrying his cross. And like you said on Sunday, it wasn't like Simon was on spring break in Cyrenian. Hey, let's go check something out.
Yeah.
And there's this guy.
Yeah.
Now you're pulled in to carry a cross. That would be kind of some weird pictures.
Yeah, because we don't. Yeah, exactly. There he is carrying the cross. Because we don't. There's speculation. There's like songs written about this moment and this guy who carries the cross, but we don't know anything about him. We don't know if he's a. I was going to say a Christian. We don't know if he's a follower of Jesus in some way.
Kind of stumble. Hey, what's going on down there?
Literally, yeah. All we know is like he wasn't from there and he was hanging out and somebody's like, hey, you carry the cross.
Yeah.
And when a Roman soldier tells you to do something, you don't say no. And so, you know, who knows? We don't know anything about him. But,
Other than that, he was from C-Town.
He's from C-Town, baby. And you wonder what's going through his mind, you know. So, I don't know.
Yeah. So, a large crowd followed Jesus and the Cyrenian. And some are happy about what's going to take place. They're happy about this crucifixion.
Yeah.
But others are saddened and mourning about what has happened and what is about to take place.
Right.
And Jesus sees this group mourning and says, don't mourn and weep for me.
Right.
Weep for yourselves in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. So, he's about to go to the cross and Jesus is saying, hey, don't worry about me. Don't cry for me.
You should
be crying for yourselves.
Yeah.
Can you kind of elaborate on that? Why does he say this?
Well, one of the themes that has been really in the last week of Jesus' life is the coming judgment for Israel for rejecting the Savior. And so there's a constant theme of Jesus just saying, hey, you guys are going to be judged for rejecting the Son of Man, the Son of God. And this is kind of that moment where he's pointing to that. And he makes the statement of, you know, this is what they do when the wood is green. What are they going to do when it's dry? And it's kind of the imagery there is, you think of like wood that burns, right? You know, green wood doesn't burn. You know, like it's you don't cut a tree down and burn the wood immediately. Right? Mm-hmm. You have to wait till it's dried out and prepared. And the idea is it's ripe for burning, right? It's ready to be burned. And so Jesus is basically saying, hey, if this is what happens to... an innocent man, you know, imagine what would happen for someone who actually deserves judgment, or somebody who's right for judgment. And so that's why I say mourn for yourselves, because if this is how bad it is for me, an innocent man, imagine what judgment is going to be like for you who deserves judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's talking about the coming judgment of Israel for the rejection of the Savior, but also just this idea that judgment for sin will come. Mm. And so that's where it's really for all of us as just people, is that we have to understand that there is, that sin will be judged.
Yeah.
And there's no if and or buts about it. Where there is sin, a righteous God will judge sin. Mm-hmm. And so that's the statement he's essentially making, is that don't mourn for me, mourn for those who will face judgment for their sin.
Yeah.
Because it will be much worse than what I'm experiencing.
And that's kind of what I wrote down too, is something you said where there is sin and wickedness, it will be followed by judgment from God.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And we, you know, side note on that is, not that it's comforting for us, but we do look around at a wicked world oftentimes and we see evil in it. And we should remember that God will judge that, you know, God will deal with that. And so not, I'll say like to comfort us, but just to understand that like justice will always come through, mm-hmm. you know? And so we trust God in that.
Yeah. So verse 32, Jesus is then crucified between two criminals. And as he's being crucified, the mocking continues. Hey, if you're the Messiah, the so-called chosen one, not LeBron, if you're the so-called...
hey, LeBron, he's not the chosen
he's
one.
He's not the
MJ,
chosen
baby.
One. Yeah. It says, save yourself. And they continue mocking him and hugging sign over him, saying him, calling him the King of the Jews.
Yeah.
Then one of the criminals being crucified joins in with the mocking.
Yeah.
Hey, aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us. And you have to be pretty wicked.
Yeah.
To be hanging on a cross, dying for something you did, and yeah. you're still joining in the mocking that's
yeah,
going
like,
on down there.
Either wicked or stupid. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? Like, dude, what are you talking about?
You got enough problems.
Yeah. What about yourself, buddy? Like, you're hanging on the cross next to Jesus,
yeah.
and you're talking garbage. Yeah, that's hilarious. Yeah.
And with that statement you mentioned, the irony here is he's actually is saving us mm-hmm. while hanging on the cross. Mm-hmm. Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah, if Jesus has all authority to call angels or whatever he wants to, you know, to take him down off the cross. I mean, he could perform a miracle. I mean, just put a guy's ear back on, you know, a couple verses ago. You don't think he could figure out how to get off a cross,
yeah.
you know? And so he absolutely can save himself, but it's in the word I used Sunday was restraint. In choosing restraint, he's actually saving the world.
Mm.
And so, yeah, they're mocking him to save himself, but what he's actually doing is saving us.
Yeah.
And so it's just...
That was so good.
It's amazing.
So good.
Yeah.
So reading this account of all the people who are mocking Jesus, we have soldiers, we have religious leaders, just those in the crowd mocking him. And if the Bible didn't tell us who these people were, like you said on Sunday, we wouldn't be able to tell the difference between who's righteous and who's wicked.
Yeah.
And as you said on Sunday, we should be able to tell the difference.
Absolutely.
Yet in all our mocking and all our evilness, the only words Jesus uttered was, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do.
Yeah,
it's amazing. And just kind of backtracking, why is that so important for us as Christians to not be a part of that crowd or blending in the crowd? We should be set apart.
Yeah, the Bible says that we're called to be holy. We're called to be set apart, like you said. In the crowd, you know, there's like you said, there's the religious leaders. They're there making sure he's getting killed. There's the government leaders are there. The soldiers are there. There's a thief there. And if the Bible didn't tell us who was who, we wouldn't know the difference because of they're all just treating Jesus the same. And in the world we live in today, there should be a big difference between someone who is a righteous person, somebody who's following Jesus, and someone who's not. There should be a difference. And so...
And it shouldn't because you're wearing a shirt that says something about Jesus or a
right,
bumper sticker.
Right.
They should just be able to point out the difference.
Absolutely.
And just
yeah.
see it
in the way that you live your life.
In the way
yeah.
you live
and
your
it's
life.
Not because of anything that's, you know, it should be the way we live our lives. It should be the way we love each other. It should be the way we treat each other. It should be, you know what I mean? It should be in those things, not in a t-shirt or a bumper sticker or, you know, I think a good way is we shouldn't have to tell people that we're Christians. Mm. They should be able to. They should be able to tell. Yeah,
there's something different about it.
Yeah, it's kind of like the thing, like you ever play a, you know, basketball or something, and there's the guy who's just always talking about how good he is, how good his game is, and you're like, if you're having to tell me, it's not that good. Yeah. You know what I mean? And so it's kind of the same thing of like, if you're having to tell somebody that you're a Christian or, you know, and you're, I mean, not that we shouldn't tell people, we should have to tell people, but if you're having to say, no, I am this, you may not be the best example of right. what this thing is. Yeah. So, yeah.
And as I mentioned, yet in all this mocking and evilness that's going on, the only words Jesus utters on the cross is, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Yeah.
And that's just mind-blowing. Jesus' only desire for those that are mocking him and beating him are they find forgiveness,
yeah.
repentance, and reconciliation with the Father.
Yeah.
And that's amazing.
And that's where we see, that moment is where we see the heart of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, we said Sunday, Jesus preaches in the Sermon on the Mount, and he tells us things like, love your enemies, bless those who persecute you, do good to them. And we hear him say that, and to hear someone say something is one thing. To see someone live it out yeah. is different. And this is the epitome of that. I mean, how does it get any deeper than this? Someone is crucifying you, and your heart for them is that they would be saved. They're literally killing you, and his heart for them is that they would be reconciled to the Father. That the way we said it Sunday was that this that Jesus' heart is that the same men who are crucifying him would benefit from his crucifixion. Mm-hmm. That is crazy. It's crazy. Like the weight of that is amazing. The beauty of that is amazing, and it's almost uncomprehendable.
Yeah,
and yet it's his heart. You know, it's his that those you know those. Oftentimes we put people in categories of like friends and enemies, and these are definitely enemies of Jesus. But they're all of these people are men that were created by God that he loves, and we so often forget that. And the way that we treat people, or the way we categorize people, the way we, you know, we're real good at. Putting people in people groups, whether it's, you know, Democrats and Republicans or Texans and Californians or whatever, right? We are, you know, Dallas Mavericks fan, Warriors fan, you know, we do this thing that we do and we really like to categorize, but then we forget that we're all like, we not just humans, but we're all created by God and all loved by God. And so in this moment, we see that Jesus' heart for these people that he created, that even though they're wicked, awful, despicable people, his heart is that their lives would be transformed by yeah. the cross. And that we should, man, I think the things that sometimes we wish on people, you know, if we could just have Jesus' heart, it would change the way that we think about people.
Yeah.
You know, even from, you know, we talk about people who are unhoused or homeless, you know, the way we just view anybody and everybody. That they're,
just get a job.
Or
just,
yeah, yeah. And it's right. Yeah. Yeah. Like, and I think we would just... Yeah, this moment teaches us about who we should be.
Yeah,
and to be honest, we need the Holy Spirit to help us do that. And so, or at least I do. You know, I don't know, maybe my other people, but I do. And so, yeah, that just it's a powerful moment.
Yeah,
you know, it's a powerful moment.
And we look at this from just kind of that human mindset, and we ask, why would he do this? And it's mm-hmm. exactly what you just mentioned, because he's their creator.
Yeah,
and he loves them.
Yeah, and anybody who. You know, I said Sunday, he preached about this. He told a story about this. It's called The Prodigal Son.
Yeah.
You know, and anybody who's had a son or a daughter who's, you know, had their lives destroyed by the wickedness of sin understands what Jesus is feeling there. Because if you're a mom or a dad, you have this child that you love no matter what. And your desire for them is no matter what they've done. Is that they would find healing and restoration, no matter what. That's what you want. It doesn't matter how wicked they are. It doesn't matter, you know, what awful things they've done to you, right? They could spit in your face and steal from you and whatever they've done for you. You love them, and your desire for them is to be reconciled, no matter what. And that's something that a parent feels for their daughter or son, and that's something that's how we can understand a little bit of what Jesus is feeling, is that. He doesn't matter what they've done. His son, his daughter, and his desires that they would be reconciled, and yeah. So we need to have that heart.
Yeah. And that, like you said, that's exactly how Jesus sees us, like that, yeah. that prodigal son.
Yeah.
Regardless of what we're doing, yeah. he still desires that
yeah.
relationship.
And yeah, and that's why we should be grateful. Yeah. That's why we look at this story and we're like, Jesus, no, get them, man. They're crucifying you, like strike them with lightning or something. And we don't need to think that way, because we need to be thankful that that's not his heart. Otherwise, we'd be the ones getting struck by lightning, because Ephesians tells us we were enemies of God, yeah. and yet he went to the cross so that we could be called sons and daughters, right? So that's why we're grateful for who he is, because it's real easy to get self-righteous when you're on Jesus' side. You know, we forget who we were before we became Christians.
Right.
And so praise God that is his heart. And it's because that's his heart that we are Christians.
Amen.
You know,
that's good.
Yeah.
So verse 39, one criminal is mocking Jesus, you know, aren't you the Messiah? So save yourself and us. And the other criminal rebukes him and says, hey, we're up here justly.
Yeah.
We did the things that we're being crucified for, but this man has done nothing wrong. And he right. just tells Jesus, remember me.
Yeah.
Jesus, remember me.
Yeah. And by the way, this is like the third or fourth person. I think there will be four in this passage who proclaim Jesus' innocence. Mm. The centurion will do it after he's dead. The thief on the cross does it. Pilate and Herod all proclaim, hey, this guy's innocent. Basically, this guy's done nothing wrong. And yet they still crucify him.
Yeah.
And so it's amazing. But yeah.
And Jesus tells this particular one who says he's innocent, mm-hmm. hey, Jesus, remember me. And Jesus responds, truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. And I love what you said on Sunday. We make salvation so difficult. You know, yeah. seven steps to salvation.
Right.
Hey, take this 8-week class to salvation.
Right. Yeah.
This man on the cross just said three words. Jesus,
remember me. Yeah.
And I'm about to cry. And Jesus responds with giving him salvation. Yeah. And that is the heart
Amen.
Of Jesus.
Yeah.
Is that the lost be found by repentance, mm-hmm. forgiveness,
yeah.
and salvation.
Amen.
Yeah. And Jesus went to the cross so we can be reconciled back to the Father. We praise him
yeah.
for his heart. His heart is so big
yeah.
that he took on the sin of the world, and even more personal, he took on the sin for me.
Amen.
And you.
Amen.
And that is the heart of Jesus.
Yeah.
Any last words to share about this passage and what we talked about on Sunday?
I would just say God is good, man. Like to me, this whole passage is just one that should make us just be in awe and wonder of who Jesus is. You know, and so that's what this whole week is. Holy, you know, we're in Holy Week, Easter week, right now. We should just be just in awe and wonder of our.
Cindy said to Sydney.
Yeah.
That wonder.
Yeah, exactly.
Just focus on that wonder.
Yeah, it's funny. She had said that. So for those of you, if you're listening and you're like, what is they talking about? Sunday at church, Sydney, one of the musicians and worship leaders at the church, had prayed at the end of service that we should be in wonder. What a wonderful name. That means we should be in wonder mm. of Jesus, and which is amazing. But what's funny is I had written in my notes that this should make us, like this moment where he gives salvation to the thief should make us be in awe and wonder. And so I was like, that's just perfect.
Yeah.
We're perfectly aligned. And so, yeah. So that's what this week, we should just be in wonder and awe and worship. It should lead us to worship Jesus.
Yeah.
yeah. So.
Amen. So the heart of this church is that you know God that took on your sin and mine.
Amen.
And like the thief on the cross, just ask him to remember you.
Yeah.
Ask him into your heart today.
Yeah.
From there, you will find freedom, discover your purpose, and make a difference. And I want to encourage you all to listen and go out to our website, Facebook, or Spotify to listen to this message. And even more importantly, grab your Bible and read it for yourself.
Amen.
You can see the heart of God in black and white, and more specifically, in red.
Amen.
The heart of Jesus and how much he loves you. God bless you, and we will see you next week.
Amen. Awesome. That was great, man.
Look at that. What time to spare?